Today is National Sorry Day, and it marks the 25th anniversary of the Australian Parliament tabling the Bring Them Home report. Many survivors of the Stolen Generation and their families remain disproportionately disadvantaged in Australia. The National Day of Healing highlights ongoing calls for change in areas such as health, employment, and education. The Wire's Calvin Lee asked Harry Williams and Georgia Darmash from the Healing Foundation about the significance of National Sorry Day.
The purpose of National Sorry Day, it was commemorated to mark the anniversary of the apology, what was happening to our Stolen Generation survivors, to mark a day, everyone to learn about the histories and what happened to the Stolen Generation and our survivors, our next generation, our youth.
So what are the primary ways you're seeing this sort of intergenerational struggle manifest in Indigenous communities today?
So, I mean, when we look at the health and the well-being outcomes of our Stolen Generation's descendants and their families, and we look at it non-Indigenous people, we can see that there's major, major gaps in health and well-being, even particularly with Indigenous families who haven't been stolen and removed. So the disconnection of culture and family, particularly kinship, plays a major role. But it doesn't just play the major role psychologically, but also health physically as well.
Yeah, so you mentioned health and well-being. What are some of the other closing the gaps targets where you've really seen progress, and what aspects are really going unheard?
Yes, so the Healing Foundation last year, they released a book called Make Healing Happen, but there was also another book that they released from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare. And a lot of those statistics also talk about children that also live in households with a Stolen Generation survivor also have, you know, experienced racism and discrimination, and that's Indigenous people in general as well. Also more or less likely to own their own home and other factors as well, not just health but also education as well, not wanting to attend school. So there's a lot of playing contributing factors, and I guess that trauma passes down to young people as well. And I guess that lack of connection to culture and also the lack of being able to parent as well for some cases as well, because of the impact of removal and the kind of things that happened in those homes, you know, sexual abuse, physical abuse, psychological abuse, as well as discrimination. And continuously also the ongoing impact of government policies as well has played a role, not just the assimilation policy in the Stolen Generations.
Yeah, so obviously the Albanese government has already committed to, you know, the Uluru Statement from the Heart and sort of symbolic commitments like putting the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island flags in the press conference room. Are you confident that this new government will sort of follow through with this rhetoric?
Yeah, I mean, I am confident. I mean, that is firstly the bare minimum. Putting a flag up is a good start. It's a symbolising that this government wants to walk alongside Indigenous people. But importantly, if the Albanese government actually commits and actually doesn't just say words but actually puts into action and then follows what the Uluru Statement from the Heart calls for, which is voice, tree and truth, so ensuring that Indigenous people have a voice enshrined in the Constitution so that they can have a say on policies and laws that impact them. So I am confident, and of course having Linda Burney as well as our Minister for Indigenous Australians, but I'm only so much somewhat confident unless Indigenous people are having a voice, because at the end of the day, it's Indigenous people who know their needs and knows what's best for them.
Yes, I agree also with Georgia, and it will come down to, yes, they may have, you know, strong and the right intentions and the attitude, but it's going to come down to the actually, instead of measuring, actually cutting, actually implementing, actually doing, and, you know, playing a leadership role with communities, creating those partnerships to be able to ensure that communities are, you know, self-sustained.
Earlier, Georgia mentioned a disconnect with culture. What do you think the most realistic way to, is it through education, is it through implementing cultural practices in community development? What sort of things would you recommend there?
So the sort of things I'd recommend is, first and foremost, is educating yourself to the average Australian, to whether it's just the government and also just the average person. Just doing your research, learning, educating yourself, you know, understanding why is there such an urgent need for, you know, people to heal, why is there such an urgent need to, you know, asking all those underpinning questions, those difficult questions, having those difficult conversations as to, just take control of your own journey and, really learn about why this has happened and why we need to why we need to heal, why we need to be able to improve from this, come away from this.
Thank you for the opportunity and just building on from what Harry was saying. There's a lot of resources out there, a lot of podcasts out there for all Australians, but at the end of the day, it's a shared history. It's really important that everyone takes on individually and extends to community to also to educate, to learn about the history, because it's a shared history. It's everyone's history.
That was Harry Williams and Georgia Dormash from the Healing Foundation. Speaking with The Wire's Calvin Lee.